It is Thursday, the 21st of September. Thanks to a broken mobile mast and a lack of mobile data, unfortunately, we are not live, but we are still the Cat's Whiskers podcast. Hello, good evening and welcome. I say evening, but when you listen to this, it may very well not be evening. But we are persisting on rather than rearranging. So here we are in the pub around the table. So around the table with me is Adam.
Hello.
And Ant.
Evening.
Right. So then, good chaps.
Morning.
Yeah. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, happy Christmas and all the rest of it. So here we are, pre-season completed it, mate. Everybody has sort of closed their pre-season accounts now. I believe the clan are currently participating in what was it, Ant, the Highland Ice Games. So hopefully everybody's had a very good time up there tonight. It sounds like a lot of fun was had by all. Zorb football and all the rest of it. So sounds like
it's one way to do a jersey launch anyway, isn't it?
So, well,
fair play to them.
If you're going to do a jersey launch, then you might as well add some added extras onto your night. Okay, so let's have a look back at Panthers pre-season. Now, full disclosure, Ant is the only one of us to have actually watched games per se. Myself and Adam have watched highlights, and so we've seen some goals, which is nice, and some players, and thanks to the very detailed Sheffield highlights, rough stuffs, and a few punches thrown. So it's all been quite entertaining. So just a quick look back on the results. So away to Sheffield on Saturday the 9th of September, a 4-1 loss in which Nieminen scored his first goal as a Panther. Sunday the 10th of September, we were at the NIC playing Sheffield again, and that was a 4-3 win to take the GM Memorial Trophy. Goals from LeMay, Hembrandt, and two for Nieminen. Are you going to do that every time? If anybody is even the slightest bit confused, then please check back on our Twitter feed for a little something that we did a few days ago. And I think we provided a small little bit of entertainment, including to Dan Green, actually. We'll just name check you there on the commentary.
And also, I listened to Three on Three's podcast that they dropped yesterday. Our pal Lewis was on, and even he started singing it at one point. So it's catchy, isn't it?
It's gone viral.
To be fair, we're kind of jumping ahead, but after the game, the two games against Sheffield, that's all I had in my head when I went to bed was just singing that beep word song. If I'm suffering, then your lot can suffer as well.
Right, okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's look at the Sheffield games before we dive into the Coventry games. So I think the first thing probably to say is that we probably don't pay a massive amount of mind to pre-season games. It would be, like Nieminen said in one of his post-game interviews, wins are nice, but pre-season is, it's about finding each other out and figuring out where everybody slots in, I suppose. So, Adam, the Sheffield games, what were your thoughts on that from the highlights?
From the highlights, I think we probably got out of the games what we wanted to get out of the games. Everyone's sort of now familiar with what playing in Sheffield's all about. We've never been good in Sheffield, not for years and years, so it was no surprise that we didn't come out of there with a win. But at the end of the day, one of the good things that I did think about that game was the physicality that we showed, and the fact that we weren't prepared to back down. You know, we got involved in some rough stuff, you know, when everyone else is thinking that fighting's going to vanish and, you know, be almost airbrushed out of British ice hockey. That was a bit of a reminder that it's still got, you know, very much a big part to play. And
that was just against us.
Yeah.
That is nothing compared to what happened in Cardiff at the weekend just gone. But, you know.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, those that are, you know, lamenting the loss of fighting in British ice hockey, maybe they've been a bit hasty, because, you know, it's, there's been plenty of it during the pre-season across the whole country. So, so yeah, you fight fans will, I'm sure, be quite happy about that. But
well, it's interesting because I think we all said in a previous podcast that we were looking a bit light weight-wise, and we weren't sure if we were going to have that physicality. So I suppose, really, though, certainly that game in Sheffield serves as, you know, a bit of a, I don't know, does it bolster us a little bit?
It shows another sort of string to the bow, doesn't it? Mm. You know, that we're not going to back down in the face of being challenged or, you know, any sort of aggression. I mean, I must admit, before that game, I had the same concern. I thought we looked a bit light. I didn't think we had a hell of a lot of physicality, you know, in Dior, you know, on the forward lines. So, you know, to see guys dropping the gloves and, you know, taking the fight to Sheffield players in their own building, you know, is, for me, really reassuring, because, you know, I'm sure many Panthers fans have thought the same as me, that, you know, the last few years we've just not really seen that sort of fight in Panthers side. So, you know, to actually see it in a pre-season friendly where you don't really expect to see that sort of stuff, you know, shows that maybe, you know, no one's going to take liberties with us, and our guys are, you know, got each other's backs, and we're going to sort of, as well as the finesse and the offence, we're also going to be a bit difficult to actually beat physically as well.
Mm. Yeah, so, I mean, Ants, given that you watch both the games, you know, you can probably give us a, you know, sort of more rounded kind of opinion of how you feel like those games went. I mean, it was nice to see us bounce back in our own building, because, you know, like Adam said, you know, we haven't had a lot of luck against Sheffield the last few years.
No, and then Adam and I were chatting on the way down before we recorded this. I think the key thing for me on the Sunday was, in previous games, we dominated that game in the early part against Sheffield. We deservedly took the lead. They then get a goal against the run of play, and then they then turn it up a notch and dominate us, take the lead. Previous Panthers teams would have folded. I know this is only pre-season, so, but we can only go on what we've watched so far. But previous Panthers teams would have folded over, fallen over then, and Sheffield would have scored 3, 4, 5 like they have done countless and countless of times. But even going back to the first game and the second game, it was like night and day. The game at their place on Saturday, really good crowd. I know it was like £10 tickets. That's how you do pre-season.
Well, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, yes, it was £10 tickets, but I mean, just sort of jumping off on a bit of a tangent here. I was away for the Sheffield games, but I was at home for the Coventry games. I missed the deadline for the season tickets, you know, discount. But I found myself kind of, not quite at a loose end, but I did have the opportunity to go to the game against Coventry, but I chose not to because of how much it was. Yeah, I mean, you know, yes, fine. If anybody wants to, you know, give me some stick for not taking up the season ticket holder price, then fine. But if that game would have been, you know, that, you know, £10-15, then you would have got a lot more people in through the door. I think that's an opportunity missed, personally.
But it was, and Sheffield did that right. They got 9,000, close to 9,000 fans in the building. They were loud, as you'd expect, and it didn't feel like a pre-season game. Neither game felt like a pre-season game. And I know in the past I've lamented the fact that we've all have, haven't we? It was just like, oh, why are we playing Sheffield again? Why are we playing Coventry again? Why can't we use pre-season to play like what Dundee and Fife did? They got teams in from Europe and they played like across, you know, they played each other sort of thing. But then we went on to say, but then playing your teams from the league, at least it gives you notice on how they're going to perform as well. It gives you like a, you know, getting to the speed of things. But yeah, I mean, they did that right. It was a really good crowd. Sheffield pretty much battered us in game one. It was pretty much that first, certainly the first period and the first half of the second period, it was all them. We did really well. It was back to the wall, and the team gutted it out. They played for each other. We only conceded the one. Then to get the equaliser was somewhat against the run of play, but it was a really well worked goal. But again, Sheffield take a 2-1 lead. They open it up to 3-1. Panthers teams in the past would have lost 7-8-9 at that point. They didn't. They gutted it out. And then all the mistakes that were, again, me and Adam were chatting about it. There was a lot of mistakes going on in that first game. A lot of giveaways and what have you. Game two, a lot of that had been, sorted out and what have you. So you could see the improvement straight away. I know we're going to get on to Coventry in a minute, but that, and again, that's another step up. You can see the cohesion within the team. You can start to see individuals are starting to find their roles on the team and stuff. So
yeah, very much so. I mean, yeah, like you say, just sort of jumping ahead. But over the highlights that I saw of the four games, one of the things that stuck out to me, apart from Nieminen really sort of asserting himself, was the speed of Hembrandt. I think he's one to watch. He's definitely one to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I could wax lyrical about this. It's weird. But I'm actually sat here. On the back that I've watched pretty much four preseason games. Unfortunately, I bought the webcast
and fell asleep
for Coventry on the Sunday, and then put a film on and fell asleep, and then woke up with only the third period to watch. So
most expensive webcast ever.
Yeah, probably much. But I've actually enjoyed all four games, which is really, really weird.
It's nice. Yeah, long may that continue. So, let's just sort of continue to pick apart the Sheffield home game just a little bit more, because obviously we got to see there were a lot of goals from both sides, but there's what two names pop up in the goals. It's Lemay and Nieminen, and I thought particularly in that game they seemed to have a nice chemistry between them. I mean, that's what it seemed to me from the highlights, Adam.
That's what it's all about, though, at this stage, isn't it? Finding out which forwards have got chemistry, who's going to complement each other on each line. The coach will certainly have things in his own mind about what he wants to see from the different lines, different traits, different, characteristics. I think the good thing that I saw, admittedly, from just highlights is that, we look like we're a much faster team than last season and recent seasons, which I think has been our Achilles heel. And the transition out from our own defensive zone.
There were some lovely passes, weren't there?
Some very sort of crisp passing, which is nice. It augurs well, because if you've got guys on the same wavelengths at this early stage in the season, then it bodes well for that sort of level of chemistry, enduring all the way through the season. Of course, other teams are going to get wise to the way that we want to play, and they'll want to match up against us in particular ways and try and sort of shut and lock our forward lines down. But I saw a lot during the highlights, admittedly not the full games like Ant saw, but I saw a lot to be very optimistic about, because I think the way that the Elite League's gone over the recent years has been more of a shift towards a skating based game, more about speed and transition. And I know we've only seen sort of four games and they've only been pre-season, and nothing's ever won or lost in pre-season. It's just giving you a bit of an insight and a flavour really into how the team might perform over the longer course of the season. But I saw a lot that was gave me cause for optimism in terms of individual talent and that level of cohesiveness across the forward lines. I mean, the one thing that I would say is, and again, I was talking to Ant about this on the journey over, but some of the goals that we conceded, probably the ones against Sheffield more so, were a bit scrambly. And I don't know whether it's because of the sort of relationship between the net mining and the D-men at the minute, but it seemed like there's a lot of sort of pinball sort of goals where the puck was sort of like not cleared and we had a couple of chances to get rid. It's only pre-season. I don't want to sort of hammer the team anything like that, because it's all about learning at this stage. But I do think that when the Challenge Cup and the league games come around, we perhaps need to tighten up a little bit. But we have got a lot of offensive D-men, and maybe we just need to accept that it's going to be edge of the seat stuff quite a few times this season, and we'll all have our hearts in our mouths as we see D-men jumping into the play and maybe being a bit adventurous to the point of being kamikaze. I don't know. It'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean that's I suppose a contrast from last season, isn't it? I mean, we started off really well, but then you know, as the season went on, I think we were sort of crying out for those sorts of games, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, there was just a chronic lack of excitement during the whole season last year, and you know, it's quite clear that all the sort of upheaval and the chopping and changing earlier on in the year, you know, and ultimately, you know, Gary Graham going, it just gave us no sort of momentum.
The most excitement you had was when you were changing your, choosing which coffee point to get your mid-game coffee from, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, which of the two outlets had a slightly shorter queue? You know, in most instances, it was the queue on our side of the arena under block. Oh yeah, sorry, the other side.
Giving away all you see, Chris, there, rather.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it was just a completely devoid of any excitement, any optimism. I'm sure most Panthers fans were probably counting the days down to the end of the season last year. It was just an absolute horror show. So it's good to see, you know, a lot of optimism on social media from those that were at the games and saw the webcasts. You know, it's nice to sort of hear, you know, positivity and enthusiasm, and, you know, people actually wanting to, you know, back the team and connect with them. And there's been a lot of stuff that the club themselves have put on social media in the first few weeks. Arguably, you know, I'm a bit old school, you know, has there been a little bit too much, you know, go for quality over quantity. But you can't sort of beat the fact that, you know, there is a lot of excitement around the fan base at the moment. And, you know, hopefully when the league season starts, you know, the players and the coaching staff will give us, you know, great cause for optimism and try and sustain, you know, wins throughout the season and be in the other side of the table rather than being down the rankings like we were last season.
Well, let me just pick up on something there, actually, because you did mention the coaching staff, and I think the media team have made a very big deal about, you know, showing what kind of coach Jonathan Paraday is, because he is. I think, you know, we all kind of found out what kind of coach Gary Graham was, and he you know, he was very old school in his ways, you know, my way or the highway kind of thing. But it's a lot. I think a lot has been made on social media of the fact that Paraday is, you know, he's a motivator. He is a guy who wants to, you know, he wants to build the guys up, and he, you know, he encourages his team. And, you know, before his appointment, you know, just before his appointment, you know, we there was a lot about, you know, Omar's really done his homework on this guy. So far, I you know, I get the warm and fuzzies, I'm not going to lie. I think he's a guy who, you know, rather than, you know, give somebody the hairdryer treatment, I think if something, you know, I think it'll be more constructive. You know, if somebody's had a bad shift, you know, they'll come off and they'll go, right, I don't want you to do that again. Do it this way instead when this happens again. You know, I think he'll be there with the constructive criticism rather than trying to, you know, rather than trying to shout people into submission.
That'll be the role as well of, you know, the assistant coaching staff. You know, because when you're behind the bench during a game, you obviously you have to interject and, you know, point things out to players and your assistants if something's not quite the way that you want. But, you know, if you watch during the game, the assistants are doing a lot of talking. You know, they're going up and down the benches. You know, this year we've got an assistant who's probably going to take the forward players, and then an assistant that's going to look after the D. So it's all about, you know, just, like you say, not giving players a hairdryer treatment. Gary Graham was too aggressive in that sense. You know, he was quite happy to chuck players under the bus, and, you know, as a natural consequence of that, players' confidence has just nosedived and went off a cliff. So, you know, I think, you know, when me and Ant were talking, I don't know whether Ant remembers this, but I'm lucky to remember as well. When we went to the Greyhounds the other week, we were having a chat about this, and I think we were both sort of really optimistic about Paredes, because he seems more calm, more methodical. You know, it's more about the actual system, and he trusts the players to actually deliver on what he wants. And, you know, I think from that point of view, you know, he's quite similar to Corey Nielsen in many respects. You know, he's not overly sort of, you know, ranty or shouty, you know, unless, you know, officials have an absolute nightmare. And
I'm sure we'll see a side of him if they are.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, from everything I gather about a newish coach, he's been around a while now, but, you know, he's a very sort of thoughtful guy, and, you know, it's all about, you know, taking players with him, not sort of riling them to the point where they might lose motivation and not want to be around Nottingham anymore.
Yeah,
I guarantee you he's dropping F-bombs and C-bombs and all sorts in French at those officials.
I don't think
time and a place though, isn't there?
I don't think they're French. I think they're universal, mate, I'll be honest.
Yeah, but Yeah, I mean, très bon so far. So long may this continue. I'd say that there's a lot made of was getting a coach who was, you know, a bit out of the. He's not from the usual channels and what have you.
Well, the usual channels is, you know, rising up to coaching staff through being a player in the elite league.
Yeah.
That seems to, and that was a bit of a. I don't know, not necessarily a bugbear for me for a long time, but, you know, people would say, you know, about a coach that came in, oh, he knows the league, and I just couldn't understand why that was important.
But we've got Rick Strachan who knows the league, and I think Rick's a really good appointment because for that reason, you know, it could be that Rick's only here for this season. It's like a transition period, and then we go to Pereira and Anderson. Is it Anderson? Happy smiley Robert Farmer. More, yeah. Anyway, no, it's because I've Anderson missed the games at the weekend, didn't he? So that's why I've got Anderson in my head, and I've completely lost train of thought. So let's just move on to something else.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll segue back into the Coventry games because we haven't talked about those yet. So. Coventry, I think, have got some work to do.
and mental. And not just on the team, by the way. Their rink, it's worse than Old Trafford. It's just, they've not painted the ice. You've got bits of plexi, like, flopping around all over the shop. The lighting was terrible. I mean, this worrying time. If I was a Coventry fan, and there was barely anybody there at the game by the look of it.
Well, this is the thing. This is one thing I was going to mention. I watched the highlights of the game in Coventry, and it felt and sounded empty. It looked empty. If they were half full, I'd be shocked.
I don't know if they're allowed to count, you know, assistance dogs as part of the attendance, but that might have trebled their attendance figures. You know, it was not good. Oh, and fair play to the Panthers fans that went down for it as well. But and then another really good performance on the back of Saturday when we absolutely battered them. There's no way, shape or form. I mean, we've got a few friends that are Coventry fans and what have you, and they just gobsmacked as to A, how bad they were, and B, how put together we are. And then, you know, it's nice. It's like I say, it's nice to have a bit of positivity ahead of games against Manchester this weekend, where we're coming on the back of 8 goals, 1 goal conceded.
Yeah.
You know, we've only and something we didn't touch on the 2 Sheffield games. And I should have mentioned Stojanovic's performance in Sheffield.
Yeah.
Really good. Robinson's performance against Sheffield, really good. Same again this weekend. Was he Stojanovic? He only had 16 shots to deal with. Kept them all out.
Absolutely.
And Robinson was just not, you know, not bothered at all by what he was facing in Coventry as well. And that's really good to see. And going on the transition where Adam was talking about, you know, from back to front. I think the goalies are playing a bit of a part in that as well. Mm. I was concerned about the chopping and changing of goalies, about a defence trying to adapt to 2 different styles of netminding.
Well, let me just jump in there because I forget if it was last season or the season before. I can't remember exactly, but Guildford had 2 input netminders, and they were essentially using them, you know, one game, you know, just swapping them over each game. And it was working. It must have been last season because of how well they did. But yeah, they were using their goalies like equally, pretty much, until it got to sort of the nitty gritty of the season. I don't know if one of them was getting injured or if he was getting tired and he just needed a break. But anyway, essentially for most of the season they were swapping. So it can be done, and if it's done right, then, you know, you've got a great goalie tandem to work with.
Really, really promising. Obviously, you know, Stojanovic is the bigger of the two. I think he's built like a brick.
He's 6'6" with his kit on both ways.
Yeah. Doesn't smile a lot either, by the look of it, does he? You know, based on pictures. But he's a unit, isn't he? And but Robinson looks, you know, quick. He looks mobile. Mm. But yeah, it's really promising to see that they've adapted, and they've both played 1 game at home, 1 game away, which and obviously playing in Coventry, different rink. I know I've touched on
tricky sightlines. You know, lots of netminders have said going into that building that they've struggled with
sightlines. Coming off at that end in front of the away fans.
Yeah, of course. But, I agree with Ant. You know, I think when we made the sort of signings of Stojanovic and Robinson, you know, to me it looked like there was a very heavy bias towards Stojanovic, that he was going to sort of like play maybe 80-85% of games this season. You know, I don't know what's in the thinking of you know, the coaching staff, but I would say now that maybe, you know, I've seen enough from Robinson just from highlights and some of the saves that he's made that, you know, he's trusted by the coaching staff to actually play more games, and that could be good, because, you know, you don't want to absolutely, you know, bury your netminder through, you know, overworking them. We've seen that in the past in Panthers, that it's no good. So, you know, to have a more equitable split of workload between the two import netminders is, I think, it's good, as long as, you know, both netminders develop, you know, good cohesion with the D units in front of them.
And stay healthy. I've got a question for the two of you now. Based on the performances of the weekend, I ain't got a clue who's going to be playing Saturday and Sunday in nets for us. Would you go with Robinson against Manchester in Manchester on Saturday purely because he's played in Coventry, similar size rink and the setup there,
similar conditions.
Yeah, okay. And then do you play Stojanovic at home on Sunday because it's the bigger ice pad and what have you, or
Stojanovic has played in Manchester's rink before?
True.
You know, he's not a stranger to the league. I don't know what his record's like in Manchester, but that season they was in Sheffield, you know, they had a very, very good season. Just pipped at the post, weren't they, to the league title by Belfast, if I remember rightly. But, you know, you look at the save percentage that Stojanovic picked up that season, you know, it's incredible. I think it was, 93%, 92.7, something in that ballpark. You know, that's just, they're crazy figures. So, you know, he must have done that all the way through the season. And I think from memory, he played the majority of the season that year as well, because was that the year where they had the tandem of him and Barry Brust?
Yeah, they brought Stojanovic in, didn't they? Because Brust was meant to be the guy, and then Brust turned up looking like a pork pie, or like he looked like he liked his pork pies, and then they decided, yeah, we can't go into a season with somebody that's quite clearly unfit.
And then I think Brust got injured, didn't
he? Going to get done for libel or whatever it is.
And the unlikely event that Barry Brust is actually listening to this podcast, but. Yeah, I think he got injured as well, or there were some injury issues at the start of the season, and Stojanovic pretty much made the number.
Thanks for getting my back.
Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, I've got your back, Ant, don't worry. It's the guild of the podcasters. It's a good question, though, Ant. I mean, you could make a case for and against, couldn't you? Whichever netminder to start in the games at the weekend. But it's nice to have that problem. You know, it's nice to have two netminders that you've got the confidence in.
Okay, then. I mean, Tina, before I come on to your thought, in fact, I'll ask you, because Adam's answered my first question, you can answer my second one. Oh, are they going to split the games, or is one goalie going to take both?
Interesting. I mean,
bear in mind it's a cup and league.
Yes, now that's the other thing as well. So I can't believe you sprung this on me, because I actually, you know, I thought about your other question while Adam was talking. So
Okay, then answer my first question, and then you can have a think, and then you can both answer the second part.
Oh,
and
God.
Then it gives Adam chance to.
When did I give you control? I'm not quite sure that how that happened. So I still feel like Stojanovic is sort of the duly designated number one. So I would expect him to start in Manchester. I think probably like Adam, we'd started when he was first signed, yes, it was probably felt more defined that he was going to be the number one. But, you know, these pre-season performances have shown that Robinson's got more to offer. And so I think there may very well be a more even split. So in terms of who you start, I think if that's the intention, and neither goalie has done anything to warrant not starting. But I still think if your intention was to start, you know, to have Stojanovic as your number one, I think that's who you're starting, if I'm honest.
I like the fact that we're all going in on Stojanovic and we're not backing out and just calling him the Rock.
Yeah.
Hey, look, right, we've got other players who we're going to have more trouble with than Stojanovic, let me tell you.
He's got to earn his nickname, Ant. You know, he can only start calling the Rock if he... turns in a number
if
of
smell what he's cooking.
Well, smell what he's cooking, but if it turns in a number of, you know, stellar performances where he stands on his head and helps us get wins when, you know, otherwise we might have lost. But I think that Stojanovic will start the first game of the weekend. If he doesn't play well, then, you know, you've always got Robinson to come in for the second game. But I think it will be Stojanovic for both, if I'm being honest. I think if you're going to start the season with a designated number one netminder, you give that netminder both games. Otherwise, it sends a bit of a mixed message that there's no sort of continuity and or any science behind which netminder's going to start each game, you know, as the season goes on. So I think Stojanovic will probably, on balance, get both games this weekend.
Yes. I'd be inclined to agree, actually. I would be inclined to agree. But I wouldn't be surprised if Robinson did start at home on Sunday. That's my caveat.
Taking Robinson in the league rather than...
Because I think despite what the competitions are, you have to protect your netminders. So if you are going to spread the workload, which I think based on what we've seen so far, I think that's sensible. And as I say, I know it can be done. Then, you know, I think it'll be a good marker of, you know, early doors as to, you know, what each player is capable of.
Well, I'm glad you two have answered that, because I'll be honest, I ain't got a bloody clue.
No, so. I thought that might be why you ask it. Yeah, definitely. So just a quick
reflection.
Yeah, obviously. Just a quick run through of the goals for the Coventry games. The game at home, opener from Real Deal Carl Neal. I'm not going to apologise to Penguins fans because I don't care. So Kelsall, Nieminen, and the progeny Nielsen getting his first goal as a Panther.
By the way, absolute ripper.
Yeah, what a stunner. What a stunning goal.
And it came from, you know, a rare Coventry attack as well, and like Nielsen just pinched the puck and then races down, an absolute snipe.
Well, you say that, you say races down, and that's something that I picked up on when I saw that goal, because, you know, he's a big unit, he's a big frame, and you would not think that he had that sort of speed, you know.
Well, his dad never really did.
No, so it's obviously skipped a generation, but, you know, the sort of skating speed that he showed as he went down the right wing is really, really impressive. And, you know, I didn't really have much intel on Logan Nielsen before, you know, he signed for us. You know, I've not really seen much of his junior hockey or anything like that. But, you know, you just sort of make that lazy assumption that someone that's that big and that tall will be a bit of a cumbersome skater. But he looks like his skating style is quite smooth. And
they all skate really well. All the team does.
I think you're right, and I think that's probably one of the prerequisites that that the coaching staff wants, is everyone's got to be a good skater, because they want to skate quick and they want to get that puck from one end of the rink to the other as quickly as possible.
Well, I think in terms of quick skating, we've only really got two players who don't really fall into that category. They're both defencemen. But also Josh Tetlow. He's not known for his speed, because I mean, how honestly can somebody that tall be quick? But, you know, and we've said this before, haven't we?
We'll make him better as well.
Yeah, exactly. But this is what I'm saying. You know, we've seen a definite improvement in Josh Tetlow in his year away. But you know, for me to sort of sit here and say that he doesn't fall into the category of the you know, the quick skaters, that gives you a bit of a benchmark, really, doesn't it?
He doesn't necessarily need to be a speedy skater, because I think his year away in Finland would have helped him to develop his positional play, you know, a lot better. And you have to recognise that he's never going to be a speed skater. You know, he's never going to sort of, you know, tear it up from one end of the ice to the other. But, you know, that sort of positional play that you need to have if you go and play domestically in Finland, you know, you've got to be good at that, or else you won't last long. And, you know, from all reports, he had a good season in Finland. You know, he did well. And, you know, hopefully he's come back, you know, another year wiser, you know, a bit more sort of worldly wise in terms of hockey, and, you know, able to sort of understand a different style of ice hockey, which is mainly based on sort of speed and, you know, puck possession. So I expect a lot from Tetlow this year. I think, you know, he's going to be a leader. I think him and Betteridge have got, you know, big roles to play in terms of helping everyone else come on board and understanding what it's like to, you know, be a Nottingham Panther. And, yeah, it's just, you know, good to have those two guys back, to be honest, because I think, you know, we missed them last season. We missed them massively. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they've given the organisation a bit of identity back. That's not a sort of a slight on anyone that's left, you know, after last season, but, you know, they were established guys. Betteridge and Tetlow are established guys. You know, they're GB internationals. They have a lot of experience between them, even though, you know, neither's particularly old. So it's great to have them back. And, you know, I think they've definitely, you know, helped us upgrade from last season's roster.
I mean, 100% we would have kept Hopkins and Hazeldine had the Elite League not made their decision to raise the import level.
Yeah, it's just... You've got to go where, you know, you want to see upgrades in the roster. And as Ant said, I absolutely agree totally with Ant. You know, those two guys that we had to, you know, unfortunately let go are going to be stars. You know, they're going to, you know, be GB internationals and probably...
Hopkins got Blazers' only goal of the weekend.
Exactly. And it's just a shame that potentially we might have lost them now because they go off into Coventry's system. And, you know, they might make their own way to the top of ice hockey, and it might not involve Nottingham Panthers. But, you know, I wish them well because, you know, they're both really nice guys and they're very talented. So, you know, we all want to see Brits do well. You know, we've all got a vested interest in seeing as many good Brits as possible, you know, thrive either in the Elite League or in other sort of leagues.
Well, I was going to say, given we're going back into Pool A, then yes, we definitely have got a vested interest.
Since we're talking Brits, I just want to give a nod to... old Notts County boy Jordan Kelsall.
Yeah,
had a hell of a weekend. You know, he looks like he's stepped up a notch again as well. And
I've got a question for you, Ant. Do you think, and this is maybe being a bit unfair to him because it might be piling on a bit too much pressure at a relatively young stage of his career, but do you think he could sort of step into those skates that Matthew Myers vacated?
It's not a young career anymore. How long has he been with us now? This is, what, five, six seasons?
Well, he's been around a while, but in terms of age, he must only be 23, 24.
Maybe mid-20s. Okay, mid-20s. You can't replace a Matthew Myers.
Yeah.
Let's just get that back.
No, I mean in terms of the sort of style of
that
play.
That sort of role. I don't think he's going to be as much of a...
A nuisance.
Yeah, that's the polite way of saying it.
A nuisance.
Yes, a nuisance as Matthew was. I don't think he'll agitate as much as Matthew did. I can't see Kelsall sticking his backside into opposition netminders as much as.
Do you know what? I was just going to say that. Is he going to stand in front of a netminder and you know face the wrath of a goalie stick?
What you will see from Kelsall, he'll go into the heart of dirty areas. He'll put himself in and around and you know, he will make a rat of himself, if you like. And we all know that he doesn't step back. You know, he doesn't step down. If somebody goes for him, he'll quite happily, okay, well, you might beat me, but you're not going to beat me. It's not going to be a straight knockout, you know what I mean? It's not going to be a white flag situation. So, he looked good in all four games. Probably, to be honest, are the one player that stood out for me in that defeat against Sheffield. Other than Nieminen, obviously. I see somebody's got to do it.
Right, so just to finish off then, so the Sunday game away in Coventry, goals came from Michaud, Welsh, Lunsqua, and I'm going to have pronounced that wrong. I've been practicing that ever since I watched the highlights earlier today, and Hembrandt. So,
can I just say, yes. Lunsqua was absolutely superb against both games against Coventry. He had their defence chasing shadows.
Marvelous.
Honestly, it was so fun to watch.
Hang on, the lighting's not that good in the sky, though. There aren't shadows. It's not good enough.
The whole thing's a shadow. But if there were shadows in the Sky Dome, but in particular in Saturday at our place, he was they just couldn't handle him. They just didn't know which way he was going. His assist for, I don't know, whose goal was it? Was it Nieminen's goal?
Yeah,
just pulled. No, Adam's got to do this. I mean, it's not just not me and you. It was just, what, three, four players. It was beautiful to watch. And the thing is, we're all buzzing. We've had a really good pre-season. The work starts this weekend now. If we go into Saturday and we drop a tight game again in Manchester, which is possible, we got tanked there twice last season.
We were there both times.
Luckily, we were drunk both times as well, so it didn't really matter. If we go and drop a tight game to Manchester, heads can't drop.
No.
We need to come back on Sunday and put in a performance on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Speaking of, just should just mention, if there are any Panthers fans going to Manchester on Saturday, we have moved blocks. They've moved us. They shoved us right into the corner now.
Amazing.
So the seats that we had last season, we can't have this season, Adam. So
we are rapidly running out of time because I mean this is turned into a fantastic discussion, chaps. But we did have a few messages on the old Twitter. Yes, I'm still calling it Twitter. Deal with it. Snickers, Marathon, Opal Fruit, Starburst, Potato, Potato. We've probably got time for maybe one or two quick discussion points. So what stands out for you?
See, I mean, Jack always gets in touch and, you know, thanks, Jack. I won't go into the one about lines because it's too early to be talking lines. But you raise a good point of keeping the Odens boys together. So, you know, appreciate on that. This is a bad. I feel like quite prepared for watching our games because I've watched them, but I've not watched anything from anybody else.
Nope,
I've barely watched any of the CHL with Belfast here.
No. If we're not, look, right.
So I can't really comment on
if the Panthers aren't playing in the CHL, I don't care.
I do. I still want the British teams to do well.
Well, yeah, but I'd like to just hear about the results. I don't need to watch the games.
Yeah. And well done, Belfast, for finally getting a win on the board, by the way. But, I mean, Jack mentions that he thinks they're Storm's new goalie, Wenninger. He thinks he's not as good as Brodeur. And that's going to be hard anyway, because Brodeur was a stud once he had him.
He was. I thought he helped Manchester win quite a few games last season.
Chip off the old block.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you know, net mining runs in the blood. So, he's going to be a big loss, I think, for Manchester this year. But that's the thing, you know, everyone starts with a clean sheet of paper this season. You know, you might sort of think some rosters don't look as strong as others, but, you know, they might surprise you. I think that Fife looked like they could sort of get a bit better. I think there's a lot of positivity and a lot of enthusiasm coming from that particular organisation at the moment.
Well, I think they needed a fresh start, didn't they?
I think they did. And, you know, I've not really sort of, you know, similar to Anne, I've not caught a lot of hockey around the country at the minute. But I've got to say, I'm really impressed with their new coach, Tom Coughlan, because he vastly experienced. He's obviously, you know, coached all around the world, but he just seems to be the right sort of fit for an organisation like Fife. You know, a very sort of calm, steady, older head, and he just wants to, you know, get Fife playing good, winning hockey again.
We'll give him a thrashing in November. Come on, let's get it.
Yes.
I mean, we've had loads of, obviously we had good reaction to the Near Minimum video. We've had loads of, you know, responses in. Thanks for everybody who voted in the poll. Most people seem to think we're going to win a cup this year, which is nice to see.
I mean, if we win something, it's an improvement on last year, isn't it? Really?
Well, yeah. Anything's an improvement on last year, other than finishing eighth or not qualifying for the playoffs at all. So thanks everybody. Sorry we haven't literally ran out of time to go through them all, but keep your questions and comments and everything coming in after every game, and we'll get to them when we podcast next in 2 or 3 weeks' time.
Yes, and it'll be for real then. We'll be talking about real stuff. So I think we're going to have to leave it there. So
I think we're going to win both games this weekend, madam.
Okay, you heard it here first.
I hope so. Yeah, I feel your positivity. I share it. I think we're going to win both.
Yeah, go on, why not? I'll chuck my hat in the ring. Let's you know, new coach, you know, team that's looking decent.
What is actually going to happen is we're going to lose 8-0 on Saturday, and it'll be an absolute stinker of a game for us to watch on Sunday.
Yeah. So you'll be watching us all just drowning our sorrows in bunkers on Sunday. Anyway, right, thank you very much for listening. Apologies that, once again, gremlins have got involved in some fashion or form. Hopefully you will still be able to enjoy what we've said. Please keep your comments coming in. Your engagement is much appreciated. Thank you very much, and we will see you next time. So from Adam...
Bye, everybody.
And from Ant.
Take care. Spike your hair. Woo, woo, woo. Come on, the Panthers.
FTV.
TTFN.